John chapter 4, starting at verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman answered, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pete, for inviting me to share the message with you all this morning. Okay, thank you. So we continue to look at the theme, the story of Jesus. For this sermon series, we'll see Jesus inviting imperfect people to discover grace. So this is the series. And last week, we have been looking at Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, a Jewish leader. He came to see Jesus with questions. He was seeking Jesus. But today, we're going to look at the story of a Samaritan woman at the well. And this woman, unlike Nicodemus, she has no intention came to see Jesus. Instead, Jesus had intention to come to find her. In her sight, actually, she had no expectation to meet Jesus. When I said Jesus had intention to come to interact with this woman, because there were three barriers Jesus need to overcome to reach this woman. We'll see, firstly, the geographical barriers, as we already read the passage. Jews and the Samaritan, they are all discovering different things. So for Jews and Samaritan, they reject each other. Jews would not go through Samaria. As we look, continue to look at the John chapter 4, if you are able, you can open the Bible. We continue to look at the journey with Jesus. In verse 3, Jesus, so he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. Jesus finished work in Judea and now went back to Galilee. And how did Jesus go to Galilee? Jesus took the shortest route through the Samaria. If you can saw the map, so the strict is to cross the Samaria and to Galilee. And the other possible route is normally for the Jews to do is go to the north and then go to the east and to the north. So go through the Samaria was an unusual route for the Jews. So in verse 4, the passage said, it used had to go through, which implied it had a divine reason behind. The other could be the cultural barriers. Jews would not conversation with Samaritan, and also the gender barriers. Jesus' conversation with a woman. And that's why Jesus talked to the woman. The woman said in verse 9, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Furthermore, if we read the passage, we know this woman could be considered something of social outcast and moral issue behind. People would normally avoid her. But Jesus had break all these boundaries and define stereotypes to this woman. You may want to know why. What is the significance of this woman? Because last week we will see what we think Nicodemus came to find Jesus. But this time it's the other way around. Jesus came to Samaria to find this woman. Jesus made himself available to meet this woman, to listen her story, to invite her to discover grace and find the truth. I would say it was planned by God. It showed Jesus' mercy and love for this woman. And for us, he cared about us. From the passage, we can see after she meeting Jesus, her life never be the same. The woman believed in Jesus, but not only that. She was so excited and to tell people from the town. She went back to the town and tell people she had met the Messiah, and her testimony was so powerful and bring more people come to know Christ. And today, we look at this story about life is changing life. And after we believe Jesus, our life can never be the same. When we look at the Jesus story, it helps us to reflect, what is our story? When we become a believer, we believe in Jesus, did we find the living water? What Jesus transforming us? So now we continue to look at the John chapter 4, as we continue to verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired, and he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. In this passage, it's mentioned after Jesus, after the long journey, he's tired, and he sat down by the well. It was noon. Noon is the hottest part of the day. Jesus sat down by the well, and then the Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus asked her, will you give me a drink? This is how the conversation starts. As I mentioned, this is not a random meeting. Jesus met her, had a divine purpose. We knew the story of the Samaritan woman. Her life was a mess. Her life was so complicated. Perhaps she probably got a bad reputation in the community. She has been married multiple times. She has 5 husbands, and Jesus knew her story and prophesied that you're now living with a man, still not your husband. And then the woman acknowledged Jesus is a prophet. And this is helping us to understand why this woman went to the well alone and also in the hottest part of the day, because she would like to avoid the people, because nobody will be fetching the water in the daytime at noon. from understanding culture and historical tradition, normally the women went to the wells in a group, not alone, and normally went to the well in the morning, the coolest part of the day. So it's really, really unusual to draw the water during daytime alone. So afternoon is not the best time to draw the water. So this is the reason she would like to hide herself. She thought she would expect no one will be at the well. At this very unexpected moment, Jesus sat down by the well. Jesus intended to see this woman. So she met Jesus in an unexpected time and place. Yeah. So have you tried to run away because you don't want to face the problem? Or have you hide yourself from fear of what other people might think if we've got something we don't want people to know? When your heart is weary, it seems no way out. This is the situation of the Samaritan woman. If you are this woman, how do you feel? If our life is a mess, we don't want people to know because we'll feel the same. What can you do to make the better life? When times go by, perhaps this woman already accepts her situation. She can't change anything. Maybe she gets used to her routine to collect the water at noon. Even if it's really hot, it's not nice, but she wants to hide. She wants to avoid people. Perhaps her life wasn't really satisfying, but that is life. So Jesus came to her just to show his compassion and love to meet this woman. So how did Jesus talk to her? The first thing Jesus said to her in verse 7, "Will you give me a drink?" We can see through the conversation, Jesus was making a request. Jesus was not interested initially in her moral condition or her own religious practice. She is a Samaritan. Jesus made a conversation to start this, "Will you give me a drink?" This is really simple request. Obviously, the lady, the woman, came to the well to draw the water. It is easy for offer Jesus for a drink. But Jesus actually asking is to create an opportunity for the woman to think out of the room, no matter he's Jews or he's a man. But the woman said, "Doesn't make it feel right." She didn't reply, "Yes, drink, sir." She didn't just bring the water, but she said in verse 9, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" In order for Jesus to drink, actually, he has to use the woman's cup or jar, which is the cultural barriers, seen as unclean. So that's the woman said, for Jews does not associate with Samaritans. To Jesus, the idea of asking for a drink is for physical need, leading the conversation to something spiritual, mentioned about the living water. So from physical to the spiritual, as we're going to see this passage, I would like to look deeply how to make the conversation spiritually, naturally. And Jesus was demonstrating how to leading people to think about spiritual. So Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is he that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Actually, Jesus came here is to offer her a living water. And this is the gift of God for everyone. So for the woman, she did not understand what is the living water, is the spiritual meaning. And in verse 11, she's still thinking the water is from the deep well. And Jesus had no bucket to draw the water. "Look, the man sat at the well, there's no bucket. How can he offer me a drink?" She was thinking like that. Where can you get this water? And second, she thinks of Jesus is not greater than Jacob who dug this well. So you can see it is really difficult for her to understand. If we compare to Nicodemus, also the same struggles, difficult. Both of them found Jesus saying is very difficult. To Nicodemus' question, he asked, "How can someone born again when they are old?" Focus on physical birth. For this woman, where can you get this water? Concerning the physical water. And actually, this misunderstanding about physical to spiritual is leading Jesus further explanation. So Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks this water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Actually, Jesus using the living water is referring to eternal life. If we compare the people who encountered Jesus, I'll say Jesus did the same thing. Talk about the physical thing leading to spiritual, and also to Nicodemus, Jesus offered him eternal life. And same as here, even the woman is Samaritan, she's a woman. Her life was so messy and complicated. And Jesus bring her home to eternal life. If we continue to compare Nicodemus or the woman, there's a big contrast. For Nicodemus, he was a leader, he was a teacher, he knows something about Jesus. But for this woman, she didn't expect anything to meet Jesus. She don't know about Jesus. But Jesus came to her. But the response also is a big difference. And Nicodemus continued thinking a lot of teachings, but he didn't believe immediately. But for this woman, she believed. And also, she testified the testimony about Jesus. So it's the big difference. So the woman was not aware on her own need and her messy life. She was in pain and spiritual hunger and thirst. And Jesus wanted to help her and set her free. And then Jesus had to force her to face the reality in admitting she has no husband. That's why we'll find it very strange. Why Jesus saying, go, call your husband and come back. Well, this is quite rare if we look at the conversation. I can offer you the living water, but you have to ask your husband to come. And actually, Jesus is pointing her life. But in here, if you can continue to see, Jesus did not condemn sin. We can see Jesus call her a sinner or to tell her, go and sin no more. This is not existing in this passage. We can't find any wording like this in this. But Jesus actually invites us to see ourselves and to each other, eyes of love. Not judgment, not judging. Jesus offered her living water. The woman was in great moral and spiritual need, desperate for satisfying life and unending grace, which Jesus can provide her the living water. You will never thirst and up to eternal life. If you continue the story, after Jesus talked to her about personal life, she discovered, she found out, she knew this Jesus is a prophet because Jesus prophesying her personal story, very personal. In verse 19, I can see that you are a prophet. And then she turned the conversation from physical need to spiritual. She changed the subject. She asked, Jesus, where to worship? About where to worship, as the Jews and Samaritans, they worship in different places and they have worship in different ways. They disagree with the religious practice. And now that woman asking about something spiritual, now she is getting to seeking an answer. She's seeking the answer. So we can see the woman actually is more engaged with the conversation. The conversation is going on and develop. And through the conversation, her knowledge about Jesus was growing. And eventually, she found the truth. In my experience, there's quite often people has no spiritual lead. If we talk people on the street or to our friend, they don't interest anything, something spiritual. They want to avoid. They talk about something physical because they are unaware their need deep in their heart. In the past few months, May and me were on a training with an OM to rethinking the gospel. What's the good news? And the good news, how much is to meaning to our community today? So we have on the classroom and thinking, what's the good news? And it was not only a classroom teaching, but also quite often, every day, in the afternoon, we went out to different times on the high street to interview people, to asking people what's their experience, what is their story, how do they think about good news. And I would say it was an eyes-opening experience for me to understand the community, to understand the people. And everyone can tell me their story. And it is very amazing. I would say there's always a divine appointment when we went down to the street and make ourselves present. There's always have a story to tell. But what I learned, how to make Jesus known, there are three keywords. I think the first one is really easy for me. Presence. You just present like Jesus. Presence at the well. We just go on down the street, be present, be available. And the second thing could be if you are the evangelist, you like to share the gospel, proclamation. And the third one is persuasion. Three P's. Like Jesus, he made himself present at the well and wait, be there. There was a time I was helping the community to dig the litter picking in Birmingham. I won't tell you where, but I thought there was a practical task. It was easy because it doesn't involve much talking, just do the litter picking. You just got the gears, the equipment, you go on the street and do things. But there were two deep conversations on that day, which I never expected. And I would say that was the defined appointment. The first one I met, he was a young man. He's about 30s. When I removed a big mattress to an open area for the council to pick up, this man came to stop me. No, you can't. You can't because, I'll show you the photo. It's a mess. He's saying the council would not come and collect the rubbish. It has been a year the council didn't come. Perhaps the pandemic and things. And that's caused huge rubbish and a lot of rats. And then he explained, it didn't work. Don't do that. And then we explained to him, no, we work with the council. We already book a van, we'll pick up all the rubbish. We'll clear the street. And then the conversation carried on. And then we asked, oh, are you living nearby? He said, yes. He lived nearby the hostel, nearby the dump area. He has been seeing so many people keep dumping the rubbish here. That's not nice. Then we asked him, what brought you here at the hostel? And then he opened and to share his story. It's about a year ago. He was living on the street. Someone, a lady, came to tell her, she's the center manager, she invited her to come to offer him a place to leave the hostel. And the conversation carried on. He became more open to share his stories and struggles. And actually, when he's sharing, he said, I got a cancer, stage 3. And he was from Bulgaria. He don't know what to do. And his family all back home. He was alone. And there's no hope. Then we asked him, do you have any faith? Can we pray for you if you don't mind? We pray in Jesus' name. And he said, yes. And that moment, the Holy Spirit is running around. And this person, he did healing. He did hope. He did the living water. And after this, I went on to the street to continue the litter picking. And this time, another man came to me. He's an old man. And he came to us showing his appreciation. Why you're helping for cleaning the street? Why are you doing this? And then we tell them, we are a group of Christians. We would like to improve the environment, to clear the street and make the environment nice. And he wasn't wearing nice clothes. He said he's homeless. He asked us, why are you doing this? What does the Christianity do? And then he told us about his story. Originally, he was from India. He was a teacher. He was a mechanic, fixing the washing machine and all the electricals and this and that. He did different jobs in the UK. He got the knowledge and the skills. And I remember that morning was freezing cold. In the end, he asked us, can you give me a pan? And I asked him, would you like to have a drink instead of a pan? And he think for a while, no. And then I said, can we offer you some food to eat. And then think for a while, yes. Then I went with him to a nearby cafe and bought him a burger. And the conversation carried on. He tell much more about his story. And this one thing he said is really struck me. He said, life has good time and bad time. Now he's in bad time. He recalls a lot of memory he did. He was a teacher. He telling me he know all the geography and things like that. But at the moment, he's in hopeless. He needs. When I heard his sharing, my heart was broke. I can see a lot of people living in brokenness, living without hope. A lot of brokenness in life, struggles and burdens. Perhaps at this moment we may be going through something, struggles. But what is our living water that Jesus promised us and gave us? However, they are not forget by God. I would say we live in a world of needs, constant needs, sometimes even overwhelming needs. But what Jesus has promised us is that the living water never runs out. The living water never runs out. He fills us with life everlasting, and we never have a need that he can't meet. When their need is Jesus, the living water overflows in their life. Like the woman, she found the truth. Jesus, God is spirit, and his worshipper must worship in the spirit and in truth. Now the woman discovered the truth. And in verse 25, I know the Messiah is coming. She found Jesus is the Messiah. Eventually, she believed in Jesus. We can see vulnerability is not necessarily a hindrance to the gospel, but often an obstacle of it. She was not considered spiritual until the Messiah appeared to her, and the whole life is changed. The woman represents living in a social outcast. Perhaps she didn't think she can make any change in her life. I was thinking, perhaps my story is the same. When we don't know Jesus, we just carry on our life until Jesus came to us. She didn't expect she would meet Jesus in her daily routine, and God actually to satisfy her soul. And I would say, this woman, after meeting Jesus, there's three things change. Her credibility was restored. Her knowledge about Jesus, about the Messiah, about where to worship was renewed. Her judgment by society was neutralized. As we continue to look at her, after she met Jesus, she went back to the town. She was hiding, but now she go to the people, go into the community to make Jesus known. Today's passage is telling us God knows our hearts and our story, and he cares. He came to reveal himself, he's the Messiah. The salvation is not only for Jews, it's for the world, it's for everybody, every nation. Right with the 28. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Was she leaving her water jar? She was came to draw the water. This was the purpose she came to the world. But after meeting Jesus, so impressed when you look at the picture, she left the jar and went to the town. And this showing she was too excited after meeting Jesus. Jesus prophesying her story, everything he knew about her. And then he went back to the town to tell everyone he met the Messiah. He found the truth. And invites people to come and see. And what's more, what's the impact of this woman after she became a believer? In verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that time believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Wow, such a powerful truth. Our testimony indeed inviting people to know about Jesus. So she was doing God's work and proclamating. In verse 42, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And you can see, these people, the Samaritans, through the woman, they find Jesus. They can make relationship, they can see Jesus personally and got the knowledge, and they conclude he is the savior of the world. If we look at the whole story again, Jesus meets one person, the woman, and the woman witness Jesus and bring more people to come to Christ. This is the story telling us how Jesus can change the woman's story from hopeless to joyful, from sinful to glorify God. This is the power of God, and we can be the two of God. So we look at Jesus, share the good news to people by listening, inviting, responding, and loving. It helps us to reflect from our story with God. Our testimony is powerful too. Perhaps we can recall our memories or ask ourselves, how did you meet Jesus personally? Who is speaking the good news into your life? How are you receiving their testimony? And what is your story? Will you share your story, Jesus' story, to other people? And let me tell you, in last, it can be very, very natural thing. If you pray, if you are authentic and truly care about the people, and if you are listen well, respectfully, and try to understand the people, their questions and their difficulties, and you will be able to share your belief. If you care about the people around you, you will find having spiritual conversation is something you can enjoy, both of you. Nowadays in Western, we may find sharing faith is a challenge and difficult. The truth is, people are hungry for something they can't quite name. Something in their heart. Something's there. And let's share Jesus' love with them. Perhaps we can start from our testimony at the church or in our home group and tell about your story. And then if you look out and look around in your daily life, maybe we can go furthermore. How do we share the good news, not only at the church, but in our community? If we look out, I would like to have a comparison. In the past, this is the well, the public place, the common place to meet people. And today, perhaps on the high street, when people do the shoppings, perhaps you can be simply sit on the bench, on the chair. When I say go to the high street, it doesn't mean some people, they went on the street, say something loud or things to challenge people by their faith. But what Jesus do is be present, be available by listening to people's story and directing them to the truth. So what we do is the presence, proclaiming, and persuasion. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, your speech to us. And thank you for the story of the Samaritan woman. We can see how much you love for us and your unending grace. We can come to you to discover grace. Jesus, you revealed yourself as Messiah to the Samaritan woman so she can discover the truth and believe in Jesus. You have shown us your compassion and love by overcoming all the boundaries and rules to give opportunities for this woman to believe in you. And we thank you for all you have done to this woman and to us. Father, help us as we believe in you. Empower us to set our hearts on fire, to have your compassion and your love, to invite people to discover grace in you. Lord, build your kingdom here. Heal our streets and lands, and let the world see you are God. You are love and mercy. We are your people. You are our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we'll go to sing a song, Build Your Kingdom Here. And let the darkness fear. What we can do is be church, be presence, and let the people see God's kingdom. Let's